Are we following Christ in the Word of God every day in our lives? Or are we disobeying God, wondering why our life is falling to pieces instead of having peace? Because we're not trusting in the Word.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Blessings and Curses and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Divine invitation. God Himself has passed an invitation to all those who have heard the gospel, an invitation to join Him in His kingdom. How many of you have ever been invited to a party and felt like you didn't want to go, but then you showed up anyways and found out that it was the greatest party you've ever had? Well, God has got an event planned, and it's going to be a real bang for those who don't show up. Okay? God's got a big invitation for all of those who hear the gospel. It is a divine invitation to come into His kingdom, to follow His Son Jesus, to walk the walk that Christ walked in this world to get to the next. See, we're on a journey. We're on a journey. And half the fun of a journey is what? Getting there, right? So why do we have so many sad Christians, so many defeated Christians, so many Christians without victory? Why do we have that? Because they are not applying the principles of the kingdom to come. Understand that this is not the kingdom here. In this life, you will have trials and tribulations. You'll have problems. You'll have troubles. But you can work through them if you're following Jesus, because He will get you through them. Today's key verse will be in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I would ask you all to stand one last time in reverence to God's holy word, please. Matthew 16, 24, the New King James reads, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You, O God. Father, I pray that You will open all of our hearts to receive Your word today, O God. I pray that You will anoint me to preach it, Lord, and that the words I speak are not my own, but Yours through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, God, we give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. So let me read this one more time, Matthew 16, 24. "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" To be a disciple of Christ, one must be committed to Him. Commitment. Do we know what that word means today in this society? Commitment. It means you stick it out. It means you are loyal. It means that no matter what, there is no separation between you and God. Commitment. When it's good or when it's bad. When it's easy or when it's hard. When it's convenient or when it's inconvenient, you stay committed to Christ. Now, we can fool some people into believing we are devoted to God. We can fake our way through it. True devotion to Him, however, is tested by God. See, God knows how to weed out the fakes. But the world and Satan also test us. Amen? Question is, will you pass or fail that test? Other Christians are watching you. Other people are watching you. Satan's got his eye on you 24/7. But God is watching you too. But are you watching yourself? Are you paying attention to your walk with God? Because God is paying attention. And Satan is certainly looking for an opportunity to expose the fake. Praise God. So I got some points here I want to make. Number one, desire. Going back to our key verse, Matthew 16:24. If anyone desires to come after me. See, that's the problem, isn't it? We don't always desire God, do we? Do we? There's other things we'd rather do on Sunday. Amen? There's other things that we would rather do on Bible study night Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. Amen? Our favorite shows are coming on. Maybe we want to lounge around in front of the TV. There's other things we want to do, we desire to do, than read our Bible. If anyone desires. See, it starts with a desire. When you start to desire something, you go after it, don't you? Right? You get a little bit hungry and you smell the food cooking. You drive in by McDonald's, Burger King, and they're venting out that cooking food. And you start to desire fast food, right? Next thing you know, you're digging in your wallet saying, let's go through the drive-thru. I can't wait. What's taking them so long? My desire is getting ahead of me. I'm starving. You're going after it, right? Well, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, desires, you got to have a desire for this. Amen? If you don't have a desire for Christ, there's a problem in your spiritual walk. I'm not saying that. This is what the Bible teaches. If you don't have a desire for Christ, a longing for him, where you can't wait to get in his presence and spend time with him, you better start praying. Because what do you think you're going to be doing the rest of eternity? Heaven's not filled with a bunch of nice cars and houses. No. Heaven is filled with the presence of God. And if you do not desire the presence of God here and now, you're going to have a rough time all eternity. Because, listen, why would God stick you someplace that you don't desire to be? Think about that. If you have no desire to be with God here and now, you won't have it for all eternity either. There we have it, separation from God. He's going to give you what you desire. You don't desire him, you won't get it. Amen? Praise God. Are we making some sense of this? Now do we understand the concept of hell? You don't desire God, you're separated from him. God gives everyone a free will and a choice. You have a choice. You have a free will. Free will is not free license to live any way we choose. Free will doesn't give you the right to live any way you want to. That doesn't mean that you can't make those free will choices, though, right? But there are consequences. Amen. There are consequences to rejecting the word of God. Whether you like it or believe it, there are consequences. And a person's life reflects their free will choices. Look at a person's life and see what's going on, and you'll see what's happening to them spiritually. Amen? Praise God. Free choice does not mean no consequences. He's got his eye on us all the time. And he rewards good, and he punishes bad. Praise God, he's a just God. When we place God first in our lives, we desire more of him. Because he becomes the very delight we are seeking. Amen? We have to place God first. If you're putting God last in everything that you're doing, Lord, I know what your word says about my finances, but let me handle them the way I want to handle them. Lord, I know what you say about relationships with another man or another woman, but just let me have this person out of wedlock the way I want to have them, oh God. Just let me live the life I want to live. I'll put you second, and I'll put me first. Well, if you continue to do that, you will see where your life will go. You will have a second-rate life. You will not have the first-rate life that God wants you to have by putting him first. See, when we put God first, understand he has the best interest in mind for you. But see, people they don't have the best interest of God in mind. So they want to do it their way and put him last. Okay? God, you can have what's left over. After I pay my bills, after I spend my money on what I want to, whatever I got left to spare, I'll donate to the church. Sorry, it's only 50 cents. But that's all I had after I enjoyed myself with my money and paid my bills. And God is saying, if you would give me your first fruits and trust me and give it from your heart and believe what I am doing, your finances would be overflowing. You wouldn't have a need for anything. And you would enjoy your life a lot more. Look at my children who are obedient in this area and see how they have no needs. But see, we don't trust God. Lord, I just want this woman so bad, but I don't want to marry her. No commitment. I just want to place myself in sexual sin with her and enjoy myself and use this person and put you last and put her last, or him for the women, and have all these troubles that come in a relationship that is born out of sin. And God is saying, if you would do it my way, you would have a blessed family. You would have a family with a mother and a father and children. But we make mistakes, don't we? And we say we're only human. But the reality of it is, our mistakes come from our choices, our sinful choices, our free will choices. We don't like people telling us what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, why to do it. Amen? We got it, don't we? We're so smart. We got it all figured out. Till we hit our 40s and our 50s and we wonder where our life went. Because see, the whole time we thought we had it under control while it was slipping through our fingers. See, life is like Jell-O. It's got to be handled delicately. Because if you squeeze it, it's going to go through your fingers. Amen? You got to hand it over to God and say, Lord, I want you to handle my life. Because I've already wrecked it enough. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. God should be your delight. See, when God is your delight, people can't get you down. People can hate you. People can despise you. They can talk bad about you. They can backstab you. They can do all they want. But your delight is in the Lord, not in them. So you could look at them and say, what can you do to me? I got God on my side. You can't hurt my feelings. I know who loves me. I know the opinion of the Almighty, all-loving, all-powerful, all-supreme God, and he loves me. So your opinion don't count. Now you're putting people second, and you're putting God first, and that makes people first, because God is all about people. Do you understand what I'm saying with that? Do you understand what I just said? When you put God first, you're actually putting people first, because then you learn how to love your enemies when they're hating you. Amen? Then you learn how to love God when everybody is hating you. Then you learn how to put God first and yourself last. Which brings me to my second point. Deny yourself. Discipline. Discipline. Matthew 16:24, our key verse. Let him deny himself. Who's got to deny themselves? You. Individually. I can't make you guys deny yourselves. I could only give you the word of God. Amen. You have to step up to the plate and say, I must become less important and he must become more important. You got to let God shine through your life. You can't just tell people to come to church and tell them about it. You got to live the life of a church. People got to look at you and say, I like that person, not because of what they do for me, but because how they live their life. See, when you love God, he will guide your footsteps. When you love God, he will walk you through. When you love God, he will shine through you. He will speak through you. It will be a natural thing for you. It won't be fake. You won't be a fake Christian. You won't be a hypocrite. You say, God, I love you. And take away from me, God, everything that you do not desire for me to have. And give me the things that you want me to have. Discipline me, God. Punish me, God, when I go astray to let me know I've done wrong. And reward me, Lord, when I'm on the right track so I know I am blessed by you. Praise God. Discipline. Discipline. Give up some of yourself. You're not that important. Amen. God is the important thing. You have a short time in this life to make a difference in somebody else's life. So don't be so busy trying to fix your own life. God's got it. There are other people out there that God wants to use you for, to teach, to be an example. Amen. But you got to deny yourself. You have to have discipline before God can use you. Praise God. Following Christ is not easy in a world filled with sin. We must give up our worldly desires and discipline ourselves. We got to say, God, there are some things in my life that are bad for me. Whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be sex, whether it be foul language, whether it be attitude towards other people, whether it be gossip about other people. No matter what it is, you got to come to God and say, Lord, I want you to discipline me. I want to deny myself. Put me in a position where I have to let go of these things. Take these desires away from me and give me a desire for you. Fill me with your peace, your love, and your understanding for other people. And forget about me, God. I want to deny myself. Denying ourselves is accomplished through the Holy Spirit. See, y'all thought it was up to you, right? Praise God. No, denying ourselves is accomplished through the Holy Spirit who guides us and gives us grace to do the work of God. No flesh wants to get up here and preach the word of God. This is the Holy Spirit that wants to preach the word of God. I am a vessel of the Lord, a vessel being used by God. For those of you who are not in the company of the children of God, you wouldn't understand that. But as a vessel of God, I am to be used and to be filled and to be emptied out and poured out like a drink offering. Amen. And God uses me only when I deny myself. Only when I say, I am not important, but you are. Amen. That takes humbleness and that takes, well, that takes denying yourself. That means you got to give up some things that you want to hang on to. That means you got to give your trust over to him. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul speaking to the church. It is no longer I who live. You understand that when you surrender over to God, someone's got to go. It's either you or him. Amen. Paul said it was him that went. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. See, when you deny yourself, you empty out all of your desires and Christ can flow through you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. See, your flesh is still hanging around. Your spirit has surrendered, but your flesh is another matter. Your flesh says, gimme, 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 gimme. Let's do some sinful stuff. Let's get into some trouble. But you got to live it by faith. You got to tell your flesh, you're going to be okay in the hands of God. You're going to be all right. Calm down a little bit. The Son of God is living inside of you, flesh. Have some faith. But the body says, oh no, we got to eat. The body says, oh no, we got to pay bills. The body says, oh no, we got to have fun. The body says, I can't let go of this person. I'm not supposed to have in this relationship because I want it so bad. I'll just die without her, without him. I got to have it. I don't care what God says. I got to have it. And faith says, no, you got Jesus. You got all you need, flesh. That's what faith says. And then Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus denied himself for you. Jesus says, I will go to the cross. Jesus says, I will die. Jesus says, I will spill my blood. Jesus said that I will pay for the sins of each and every person who comes to me in faith. Jesus says, I deny myself, Father. Pour me out like a drink offering. Amen. We're talking about divine invitation. This is no small matter. When you hear the gospel of Christ, you are to stand at attention and understand that God himself is speaking to you. It's not a feeling. There's not going to be no fireworks when you hear the gospel. But that doesn't make it any less important. It's a divine invitation to deny yourself and say, enough of me. You ever have enough of somebody? Now it's time to have enough of yourself. Enough of me. I'm sick of me. I want me to go away. I want Jesus to come here and stay inside of me. Amen. The lack of self-denial we see today indicates that we are in the last days. Look around you. People are stealing from churches. They steal from this place. They graffiti on our back wall, the sign of the devil, a week ago. They spray painted the devil sign on our church. I painted over it. Praise God. Because somebody did not deny themselves and decided that they wanted to spray paint a church. But look, the lack of self-denial we see today indicates that we are in the last days. Wake up, church. Jesus is coming. Look around, because listen what the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Get your ears perked up. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. A form of godliness. They look good in church. They dress good in church. They talk good in church. But they deny the power of God. I know the power of God. My God is an all-powerful God that lifts me up in my darkest hour, that delivers me from sin, that forgives me of all unrighteousness, who clothes me in pure love and forgiveness and righteousness. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb of God. That's power. That's power to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Amen. But the Bible says when you see people that are denying that, turn away from them. You don't need people like that in your life. Oh, they might still want to hang around you, cause you trouble. But that doesn't mean you have to give them the time of day. The Bible says that many people wanted to come to Jesus, but he did not give himself over to them because he knew what was in a man's heart. Jesus says, don't cast your pearl before swine, lest they turn on you and trample them and tear you to pieces. Don't waste your time on people who don't want God. There's too many people out there that are begging for God. They don't know the gospel, but they're desiring it. They don't know what's missing. And here you come along, an obedient Christian, and you start speaking about Jesus. And they say, oh my goodness, I don't understand this. I've been missing something my whole life. My whole life I've been missing something. If we live like 2 Timothy verses, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, if we live that way, are we an example? Are we an example to the world of what Christ is supposed to look like? I know no one's perfect, but come on. If we're lovers of ourselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to our parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, Without self-control, brutal despisers of good. You know, there's people out there, you'll do good, and they'll hate you for it. Praise God. I'm not wishing anything bad on them. Third, take up your cross. Again, our key verse, Matthew 16:24. Take up his cross. Not your neighbor's cross. Not your friend's cross. Pick up your cross. What's my cross, Pastor? When Jesus talked about a cross, he didn't mean some burden in our lives. He didn't mean your cable bill. He didn't mean the grandparents that you were born into or the sister and brothers that you have. He was meaning that we must be willing to die for him. In Jesus' day, when you mentioned the word cross, people knew right away you were talking about an instrument of death. There was no mistake in Jesus' day. Romans would put people on crosses on the side of the road, so when you were traveling back and forth to wherever you were going, you would see crucified people hung on crosses, dead bodies on them. You said cross in Jesus' day, they knew what you were talking about. An instrument of death. He was meaning that we must be willing to die for him. Following Christ can be easy when life is going smooth, right? When you're rolling with your homies, you're cruising the strip, it's Saturday night and it's payday. Life is good, isn't it? And we're all happy with God when life is good, aren't we? However, when tests and trials come, they often reveal our true commitment to him. So yeah, it's easy to follow Christ when life is smooth. But what about when your enemies come out of the woodwork? You know, the devil will send people. He'll send haters. He'll send people to hate you, to try to detour you from your work, to try to stop you from what you're doing. I started my ministry in a one-bedroom apartment recording sermons for friends who were asking for them at work. Praise God. And the Lord has followed me up to where I am today. And this is not my stopping point. I'm on a journey. But why is God bringing me to the top? Because he wants to bring all the people that are in contact with me to the top with me. Amen. To the top of his kingdom. That's where we're heading. If all you had to look forward to is this life, well, I'd be depressed too. But I've got a future outlook on things. See, I know I'm sowing seeds for the kingdom of God. And last but not least, number four, following him. This is the trick. Matthew 16:24, a key verse. Follow me. Did God say follow what's on TV? Did he say follow the example that you see on television? Did he say follow the example of your enemies? Your enemies cuss you out, you cuss them out. Your enemies talk bad about you and call everybody up and say bad things about you, you do the same. No, I don't do that stuff. I don't call everybody up and talk about my enemies. No. I have close friends that I ask to pray for me. Right? Jesus asked to be prayed for, didn't he? His enemies were after him. He asked his disciples, pray for me. Pray with me. I need your help. Pray for me. Believe me, prayer can do a lot to eliminate enemies. Praise God. Follow me. Following Christ is more than just reading the Bible, attending church, and other religious acts. It is a deep commitment to him, rooted in obedience. Have a marriage, men, women. Without commitment, it falls apart. Don't do the things that you love each other with, right? Neglect your spouse. See what happens. It is a deep commitment to him, rooted in obedience. So you can't call yourself a Christian if you're not doing the things that the Bible tells you to do. Because Christian, the definition of it, means to be Christ-like. Jesus is not disobedient to the Father. So if you're disobeying God, don't you dare call yourself a Christian. If you're living a life that's disobedient to God, don't use that word to describe yourself. You don't have the right. Praise God. We must be committed to him, rooted in obedience, wanting his will in our life, looking and seeking to see the things that God is up to in our own life and the lives around us. John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. His word. God's got something here to say to us. Are we abiding in it? Are we paying attention to it? Are we following Christ in the word of God every day in our lives? Or are we disobeying God? Are we disobeying God? And then wondering why our life is not filled with peace. Wondering why our life is falling to pieces instead of having peace. Because we're not trusting in the word of God. We're not abiding in the word of God. We abide in his word by obeying him in love. You love somebody, you're going to do what they ask of you, right? We abide in his word by obeying him in love, love, love. You love somebody, you're going to be looking for things to do for them. They won't have to ask you anymore, right? Okay, when we love someone, we do whatever they ask of us without question. The Lord says, go do this. You don't argue with him. But God, it's Sunday and it's a beautiful day and it hadn't been this beautiful in a long time. Why do I have to go to church? I already know everything the preacher man's going to say. I'm so smart. I'm so wise. And God says, I'm not sending you to church just for yourself. I'm sending you to church to get filled up with the Holy Word so that you could carry it out there and bless somebody else. There might be somebody at church that needs you to pray for them, that needs you to show up, but you decided to stay in bed or go do something else. You can't live a life like that. You got to be ready and willing and have desire to obey God in everything you do. And you got to have discipline to make it happen. But see, we don't have discipline in this age, do we? We just do whatever we want to do and say whatever we want to say and treat people any way we want to treat them and feel like there's no consequences. Well, there is a God and there is a consequence. And it's coming for those who do not believe, who do not surrender, who do not abide in God's word. Now, I'm going to leave you with this. Consider these questions. This, you ask yourselves this. Don't ask your neighbor. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing some of your closest friends? Are you willing to lose some of your closest friends in order to follow Jesus? Because when your life starts reflecting Christ, people are going to walk away from you. See, you're not allowed to act like them to keep them as your friend. So you're going to lose some friends if you're going to obey God. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienation from your family? There are people in some people's families that will not tolerate Christianity. I've had people tell me that. They've lost family members for following Jesus. Third question, are you willing to follow Jesus if it means the loss of your reputation? Fonzie was the coolest guy on the block, and he couldn't be soft. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means the loss of your reputation? You might be the job clown. You might be the one that tells them all the inappropriate jokes, the ones that we don't tell at church, right? You might be the one that everybody looks up to for party night. But now you found that there's a better thing going on in your life. And that's the peace of God. And you might lose your reputation, right? As being the cool one. You might be rejected. You might be lied about. You might be slandered. Don't you know that Christians get slandered all the time? People will slander you to discredit the name of Jesus, to shut you up. Don't listen to him. Let me tell you some lies about him. Let me tell you some things about him. They lie about you. So listen, that's the devil, man. He's trying to destroy your reputation. so that people won't listen to your preaching. Try to destroy your church. But the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. Amen. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your job? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your life? Are you willing to keep going no matter what, knowing that he loves you, cares for you, and wants to fellowship with you for all of eternity?
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.